Welcome to OnlineFinancialAdvisor.net. This is your Capital Management Services Situation Report, and I'm your host, Joseph Gissey. So we are going to start today by talking about the very big picture. This is the decades time frame in which we have been in a cyclical bear market, which began in 2000. And this is a little hard to see on the charts here, but I'm going to try to move my cursor over so you get a better view. So here we are in 2000, and the P/E ratio peaked at about 44. The job of the secular bear markets is to burn off outrageously high P/E ratios over 1 to 2 decades until finally the P/E ratio arrives back in single-digit level, from which another secular bull can emerge. So as you can see here, we are still in this bear market, and we're waiting for this to burn out just so we can get back to that bull market. So if we're looking at this and we understand that history is a guide, we may not be done with our secular bear market. The Shiller PE is at 26.4, and it's barely changed from prior week's 26.3. It's approximately the same level reached the pre-crash high in October of 2007. Even though PEs are substantially lower than their crazy peak in 2000, they are nevertheless at the high end of the normal historical range. They leave very little, if any, room for expansion. This means the stock market is unlikely to make gains greater than corporate profit growth percentage, if that. In fact, if we scroll over to this chart right here, we'll notice that back in 1881, the average annual returns for all 10-year periods that began with the CAPE at this level have been just 3% a year. This further means that above-average returns will be much more likely to come from the active management of portfolios than passive buy-and-hold strategy. Although a mania could come along and cause PEs to shoot upward from the current levels, and this happened in the late 1920s and the late 1990s, in the absence of such a mania, buy and hold investors will likely have a long wait until the arrival of returns typical of a cyclical bull market. So if we're going to go over to just the big picture, it's the months and years time frame. This is the time frame in which the cyclical bulls and bears operate. The U.S. bull bear indicator, as seen here, is at 64.7. It's a little change from prior week's 64.6. And this continues to be in the cyclical bull territory. Current cyclical bull has taken the U.S. and some of Europe to new all-time highs, but many of the world's major indices have yet to top the 2007 levels. The most widely followed international indexes, the Morgan Stanley EAFE Developed International Index and the Morgan Stanley Emerging Markets Index, are both still below their 2007 peaks. So moving on to the intermediate picture. And the intermediate, which is more the weeks to months indicator, as shown here on this screen, ended the week at 25, unchanged from the prior week. Separately, the quarter-by-quarter indicator, based on domestic and international stock trend status at the start of each quarter, gave a positive indication on the first day of July for the prospects for the third quarter of 2014. In the current markets, large-cap U.S. equities gained for the week and pretty much everything else around the world dropped. On the plus side, the S&P 500 gained 1.3% and the Dow Jones Industries rose 1.7%. But U.S. mid-cap and small-cap indices lost 0.2% and 1.2% respectively for the week. Likewise, Canada's TSX gave up 1.7%, developed international pulled back a slight 0.1%, and emerging international lost 0.8%. If it is a saying among Wall Streeters that when the market is running out of steam, large caps are the last to go. If the market is indeed running out of steam, the market is following this script. In U.S. economic news, initial jobless claims fell to 280,000, the lowest number in 7 years. The National Home Builders Association, NAHB, reported its housing market index rose from 59 from 55 a month ago and matched its highest reading since 2005. The Empire State Manufacturing Index grew to 27.5 in September, the highest level since October of 2009. Producer Price Index and Consumer Price Index figures stayed steady, benefiting from falling energy prices, which have declined significantly over the last month. On the negative side, housing starts were below expectation, as well as industrial production, which was dragged down by motor vehicle production that dropped 7.6% from the prior month. And although it was widely anticipated that the magic phrase considerable time, describing how long accommodative policy would remain in place, would be removed from the Fed statement issued this week, it remained in place, rendering the Fed announcement mostly a non-event. Canada's annual inflation rate was reported at 2.1%, the fourth month in a row that it was above the Bank of Canada's 2.0% target. The Bank of Canada is now in a quandary. It is on record as intending to maintain low interest rates to boost a soft economy, yet also on record as being more than willing to raise rates to keep a lid on inflation. The central bank said earlier in September that higher inflation recently seen has been attributed to temporary effects. The Organization for Economic Development, OECD, issued revised and mostly lower estimates of Eurozone GDP for 2014. The Eurozone as a whole estimate was revised down to plus 0.8%. Some individual countries' examples are UK, positive 3.1%, Germany with a positive 1.5%, and France with a positive 0.4%, followed by Italy, down slightly at negative 0.4%. In China, factory output rose just 6.9% in August from a year earlier after a 9+% rise in July, further confirmation of a slowdown. Foreign direct investments in China, which is the lifeblood of the manufacturing sector, fell 14% last month to a four-year low and followed a 17% decline in July. Chinese new home prices fell a fourth straight month in August. Of 70 major Chinese cities surveyed, prices fell in 68 of them last month, following a decline in 64 of 70 in the previous month. All year, globally allocated investors have hoped that non-U.S. assets would outperform U.S. assets for the first time in 4 years. Indeed, emerging markets have done better than the S&P 500 in 2014 until just a couple of weeks ago. Since then, however, emerging markets have underperformed the S&P by a large negative 5% and in the process gave up their lead. This chart shows the rather sudden reversal in fortunes. To sum it all up, the U.S. has led the worldwide recovery and continues to be among the strongest of global markets. However, the overarching cyclical bear market may remain in place even as new highs are reached in the U.S. Because we may still be in a cyclical bear, we have no expectations of runs of multiple double-digit consecutive years, and we expect poor market conditions to be a frequent occurrence. Nevertheless, we remain completely open to any eventuality that the market brings, and our strategies, tactics, and tools will help us successfully navigate whatever happens. So what do you do from here? If you are not already on the website, please go to www.onlinefinancialadvisor.net. You may use many of the other various resources and tools, watch other tutorials, other videos that we have on there, or you may watch them on my YouTube channel or even our podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our free newsletter. Here we send out our newsletter every Wednesday. We give you updates on various subjects in the financial spectrum. And if you have anything that you'd like us to cover, please, you can send us an email and contact us. We'd be happy to take your topic for consideration. And please, last but not least, don't forget to share and like this video. You can give it to your friends, you can post it on your social media, or you can just give us a happy thumbs up. Either way, we would be happy with the applause that you give us shown by your shared. Thank you for listening to our situation report. I'm Joe Gissey for Capital Management Services.